You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. It's the Two Amigos Podcast with Carter and Jorge at DolphinsTalk.com.
Welcome back to the Two Amigos. My name is Carter Melrose. I jumped in as quickly as I could so Jorge could not cut me off. We're on cloud nine, my guy. I mean, this is my favorite show ever because it is leading after my favorite game in Dolphins history. I say that with no sarcasm. That was my favorite game in Dolphins history. How do you feel?
Well, I'm on cloud nine. I'm not the one tweeting negative stuff for this week. I'm really excited. It was a fantastic game, man. It was just, I mean, it's what we've been dreaming about as Dolphins fans for ages, right? Being down on the road, having a resilient team that comes back, Tua showing off, showing what he can do. What we've been saying on this podcast for ages now.
Oh, isn't it just the culmination of all of our like troubles and worries over the last 15 years as a Dolphins fan or how long you've ever been? It just feels so good.
I was in tears by the end of the game, man. It was just so exciting. And if you've been following Dolphins content over the last couple of days, the team is just, they're so happy, man. I mean, It's just like the video yesterday with Tua getting slammed and then hugging Tyreek and the smile of them two just hugging together, man. It was, I don't know. It was cuter than a video of puppies, man. It was just so great.
Yeah, one thing I was worried about with Tyreek coming here was that he wouldn't be as happy. And I was really worried that like, if we don't get him the ball, he's going to become a diva and he's going to be really sad. But I mean, him getting 190, two touchdowns, and then him getting slimed after, you know, Tua gets, it was just the best thing ever. I'm honestly on cloud nine. Can you name, is this in your top three Dolphins games of all time, Jorge?
Easy.
Okay, so where is it placed?
I would say one right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You've got to understand, my first memory of a Dolphins game was a 63-7 shellacking that retired Marino and Jimmy Johnson. So for me, this game is definitely there. Number one, the Wildcat game, I would say is number two, and number three is in that same season when we beat the Jets to win the East that year.
Oh yeah. What was the second one?
The second one was a Wildcat game against the Patriots.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a really, really good game. And then the third one was when they beat Brett Favre and the Jets? Is that what you're talking about?
So the Jets had, you know, caught Chad Pennington to sign Brett Favre, and Chad Pennington took the Dolphins to the Meadowlands.
Right.
And become AFC East champs.
That is so beautiful. I'll tell you my one that you missed, because the Wildcat is in my top three as well. Yeah. And then this one is my number one. And my number two overall ever is when Cameron Wake had the sack on the Bengals.
Yeah.
In OT, the walk-off sack to win the game.
Yeah, it was a Halloween Thursday night game. I remember that perfectly. I was actually landing in San Francisco when that happened. That was a great game. That would be my fifth. And number four, I would say the Miami Miracle, just because it was a great ending, but you know, the game was meaningless.
Yeah. And now you start thinking about the games that we remember over the last 10 years, and we don't really have that many great ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This trumps everything.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So here's what I will do. The first, we'll go into headlines really quick, and then we have some fun, of course, segments to go into. The first headline is like we do every week. We kind of talk a little bit about the injuries, see what's happening. It's, again, Armstead's still on the list, and X is on the list. And I don't think it's veteran rest. Is it veteran rest?
It wasn't veteran rest, but Sam Madison today, when the assistant coaches are available, said he wasn't worried about X's availability, basically.
Oh,
almost guarantee that he's going to play. Armstead, I'm almost sure he's going to play as well. I think Armstead today was probably vet rest. I know he's got that toe issue he's dealing with, and I think that's just, he doesn't need to practice. You know, he's turn Armstead. So I'm confident about them two playing. I do think that Sethan is going to be out another week with a concussion protocol. I love to see Hunter Long this game, but honestly, after what Gesicki did last week, I'm going to shut the F up and you know,
didn't that seem like the biggest moment of his career when he caught that? He was over the moon.
Literally.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it felt like it was like this. He was. I feel like it almost feels like we're slowly kicking him off this team. And I really felt like he needed that catch to tell you, like, okay, but who's going to catch the football in the red zone, right? Who do you got in the red zone? And I can do that, right? I don't know. Do you think Gesicki has lengthened his time here with that catch alone?
I think it guarantees that he's going to be here this year. I don't see how he stays next year. Not because I don't want him, but because the cap issue is going to be really tight. And with things going the way they seem to be, there's a certain player that wears number one that's going to be nearing that moment where he's going to get that huge extension. So I don't see how we keep Gesicki as a highly paid tight end and number three target, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If we have to pay Tua, you know, franchise quarterback money, which it looks like he's going to get that. It's not possible to keep Gesicki, especially because he doesn't block. So yeah, that's a tough one.
That being said, I loved his answer, man. I've got to talk about that.
Whose answer? Gesicki?
Gesicki, when he was asked about like Tua, like, you know, you've been a huge defender of Tua on and off the field. Like, how do you feel about this? And he's like, hey, look, this is what we've been seeing. This is what we've been saying. He's always had it in him. And now so many people are coming up and jumping on his bandwagon. And if I was him, I wouldn't let them.
Yeah. Yes, I know. This kid for 3 years has been just dragged through the mud. No one's on the band. No one's coming on this bandwagon. I mean, this is literally the name of our podcast. If you're not a part of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you haven't been there since he was drafted and you kept steady, I mean, we don't want you here. You know what I mean? So
can I just say something? Mike Gesicki is the pettiest NFL player ever.
Like, he blocks
anyone, the pettiest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he blocks anyone that even says a bad word about him. Like, hey, you know, his shoelaces weren't tied, blocked.
Yeah.
You know, he ran funny, blocked.
Blocked.
You know, he caught it, but it wasn't clean, blocked.
I love it, honestly. You gotta have someone that looks out for you like that, you know?
He's gonna block me after this, right?
You say that again?
He's gonna block me after this one.
He probably will, you know, but you know, you are giving him a compliment, kind of. So yeah. you can't be too mad. Okay, so then I want to go into this. This is our first segment of the show. It's called Power Rankings Tickle Monster. Okay, and I change the name every single time. So don't worry if you don't know what this is. But we're gonna talk power rankings. Growing up, power rankings were my favorite thing every single week. And I would be like, oh my gosh, the Dolphins moved up to 17. Oh my gosh, the Dolphins moved up to, 15. Like, I've never seen the Dolphins in my life over the 12 spot in my entire life. I really can't remember any time, especially in the last 6 or 7 years. We are being placed all over the internet as a top 10 team. Number 8 on NFL.com, number 5 on ESPN.com, number 6, number 9. The world is starting to see us as a top 10 team. Are we, in your opinion, Jorge?
Yes, we're definitely a top 10 team. And I'm going to say this. If what I think is going to happen Sunday, the Dolphins are going to be a top 2 team across the rankings next week.
Oh, my goodness. Are you going to predict a win here? Is this what you're saying?
I am. I did say it last week that I thought that if we beat the Ravens in Baltimore, we were going to beat the Bills at home. I've been saying this since before the league started. I said in the Spanish podcast, I said for me that the week two, week three games are one. If you win one, you win the other. And I think we're going to win. I've got arguments in favor of why I think we're going to win. Yeah, I think we're going to be a top 2 team with those guys that play in red from Kansas City.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, one thing I will say about us being this high in the power rankings is that we haven't been this high in the power rankings, in my opinion, because we haven't really had those superstar players on our team ever before. I think Tyreek Hill is the reason we're in the top 10 this week on the power rankings. I'm not saying that we're not a top 10 team, but that the NFL never respects us as a top 10 team, even when we deserve it. You know what I mean?
I don't think if we've ever been a top 10 team over the last couple of years where we were like, oh, we're a top 10 team and no one's respecting us.
Never. You don't think so? Like, I guess on our 10 win streak 2 years ago?
Not that, that I can remember. I mean, I think the closest was, you know, that Adam Gase season when Tannehill went down in Arizona. The Dolphins were really coming together. I think that's with a one where I can say, oh, maybe we're a top 10 team and we weren't get respected. And then, you know, we got blown out of the water in the first week of a playoff. So hard to argue anything there.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
And in this instance, we beat a very good defense in the Patriots week one. And then we went to Baltimore and coming back from 21 points down in the fourth quarter. By the way, teams were 710. Oh, and 710. Teams that went into the fourth quarter with losing by 21 points before last week. And then Mr. Tua Tagovailoa comes in and just gives a masterclass of playing quarterback in this league. And that's that.
Yeah, there was. Okay, so right when the fourth quarter started and we were driving, I know it doesn't matter at this point, but the line on that game was like plus 7,500 or something like that. And if you put down five, I was like thinking, should I just put down $5 for fun? I would have won 10 grand, Jorge, if I would have just put down $5. And I just, you know, I thought, you know what? I'm throwing $5 away. And obviously I would have made 10 grand. Well, anyways, I guess it doesn't really matter. But let's do this. We have to go into one last thing about the power rankings. The narrative is changing, though, however. We thought that when Tua throws for 470 yards and 6 touchdowns in a game, everyone in the media would respect him, right? We thought that's what was going to happen. But obviously, that hasn't come to fruition. It's just actually people are doubling down on Tua sucks. Here's the new narrative as it is today. Tyreek Hill, and here's a quote, an actual quote from the Power Rankings. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Mike McDaniel might just save Tua's career. Thoughts?
I need a name. Who wrote that?
That was like, it might have been, I don't remember which power ranking it was, but it might have been like CBS.com or something.
CBS for some reason has it out for Tua, but
I don't know.
Here's my question, and this is my answer to that quote. If you switch Tua for Teddy Bridgewater, do you get the same result?
No.
No way. Tua is not just along for the ride. He's driving the motherfucking train.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so, yeah, you think that's the worst quote ever, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, everyone that said that Tua basically was going to be, you know, weak-armed, unathletic, and drop out of the NFL in 2 years, just a big bust, they're going to be wrong. And the thing about it is that everyone, and this is psychology, when you believe something, and when you believe something so far as to put it into the public minds, again and again, like Colin Cowherd does, that Tua sucks, he's a bust, all those things. When new evidence is given to you, a lot of people reject that evidence and double down on their dumb opinion. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're just going to shift it to, well, if you have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Mike McDaniels, an offensive genius, of course Tua is going to succeed. And I think that might be the issue here. And so I don't think we're ever going to get that sweet, sweet release of everyone believing in Tua. And I think that's okay. I love being the underdog anyways. Our next segment on the show is called We've Been Hurt Before. Okay. And this is all about that in the past, you know, obviously this team has let us down and we have a phrase for it called the same old Dolphins. Okay. And what we're going to do and the subtitle for this segment is going to be called Intrusive Thoughts with Carter, Playing Your Inner Demons. Okay. So I have some, I believe in this team and there's all that fun stuff, but I want to do this. Okay, Jorge, I'm going to tell you what my inner demons are telling me and probably some of your inner demons too. And you're going to argue against them. Okay. Okay. So here we go. The first one is in the last eight games, the Ravens are 1-7. Okay. And both last year and this year are ranked the worst pass defense in the NFL. Does that take anything away from Tua's performance, yes or no?
No. Yeah, they're still NFL players. So I don't think it takes anything away. I think you still have to go out there and execute. And it was very easy for this team to bang down, you know, seven. This team had a number of opportunities to quit on Sunday, starting from the kickoff, you know, getting a kickoff return, then the interception, then you tie the game, then that 75 yard pass. Then, you know, before that, there's the second interception. And then you kind of bounce back, and then they score again with that long run. And this team kept, you know, coming back. So I don't care if the Ravens were, you know, a 35th team on pass defense over the last 2 years. The team had to go out there and be mentally strong and mentally execute. So I don't think it takes anything away.
Yeah, something we have to admit, though, is that the Ravens secondary has been really bad over the last two seasons.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that it is so bad that they're going to allow 21 points in the fourth quarter. I also don't really know how they're so bad, because Marlon Humphrey is one of the best corners in the NFL. Marcus Peters used to be one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. He's probably still top 25. So yeah. I don't really know. Do you know why they're so bad? I don't understand it.
I think it's simple. They were playing Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
That's fair.
You know, they were. It's easy to have two elite players make you look bad.
That's true.
And once again, I think, you know, they're not a historically bad defense. No one would claim that, right? And there was this one play, you know, like a sticky touchdown where they dropped 9 in coverage, and Tua still put it in there. So granted, it wasn't the best secondary, and the Bills secondary, if healthy, is a lot better. I still think that it was the result of playing Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle that made them look so bad.
Yeah, I think it definitely added to the equation. Okay, so let's do this. Second intrusive thought of the day. Last season, we already beat the Pats and the Ravens. Last season, we did that, okay? Yeah. And we weren't a very good team, okay? And in that, from that perspective, we are also 0-7 versus the Bills in the last 7 games. That is the statistic we all know about and we all are haunted by. What makes this year different if it kind of seems, at least on paper, a little bit like last year?
Remind me again, what was your record facing the Ravens at Baltimore going back to 97?
Terrible. It was terrible. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And tell me how many times the team has gone out on a game that they're supposed to compete and then laid an egg and didn't show any fight and never came back over the last couple of years.
You're talking about us?
Yeah.
Oh, like every single time.
Yeah. And then last week we went to Baltimore and we stole a win from the claws of defeat.
It's true. It's really true.
So honestly, I think that that Cameron team, the fact that they're trusting that they can actually put up points against anyone, that's what I'm confident about. I will say this, Carter, and by the way, kudos on the segment name. Mm-hmm. You have a real future in you know, talk show radio.
Yeah.
I am scared. I'm scared of, you know, once again, we're flying high. We're talking our shit. And yeah, I'm going to use true Carter's words this week just because we had a great win.
Yeah, right.
And we're being cocky and you know, I'm wagering my Twitter avatar against the Buffalo Bill and so on.
Wow.
But guess what? You know, if we go out there and lay an egg at home, then it's going to be the same old Dolphins.
It is.
Whatever happened last week, it's going to be erased. Despite that fear, and I feel confident that we're going to go in there and we're going to dominate the game and we're going to compete and it's going to come down to the last drive and we're going to win this game and Dolphins are going to start 3-0 and as the class of the NFL.
I want that dream to be real, Jorge. I want it to be real so badly. And you said it so beautifully too. The thing I will say is I think we all, and I think it's okay to have these intrusive thoughts of like, you know, we've been hurt in the past, and it's the day old dream of this, of like, you know, oh, you got dumped in the past and you've got your heart broken, but do you still try to love? You know what I mean?
And you're going to make me cry, man.
Yeah, this is what it is. This is, we're going, how many times have we been really high on this team and they go to Buffalo or they face the Bills and the Bills shit on us? That's my one swear word. Okay. How many times did that happen? That happened just last year. Okay. So we need to have the courage to love again. And this is the opportunity, because you're right. If we lose this game, everything's undone. Everything's undone.
Dude, I'm in tears right now listening to that beautiful poetry. I agree. And I think McDaniel said it best, right? In his locker room speech. You know, we don't hang our heads on this team, not with this crew. And I think everyone in that locker room is very conscious of what's happened against the Bills the last couple of games. Everyone knows the narrative. The Bills are the class of the AFC. The AFC East is theirs for the taking. The Dolphins might, you know, steal a wild card spot, but they're not going to compete with the Bills in the AFC East. The Bills are the class of the division. But you know what? The Dolphins are 2-0, coming from the biggest victory this franchise has seen over the last 20 years. They're going to be at home. The Rock is going to be just so freaking, you know, lit, as the youth would say. And I expect the Dolphins to, you know, feel that and to feel that connection to the crowd and just go out there and just sling it, man. I think Tua showed himself, and I hope he, and I think this is the lesson that McDaniel was talking about. You know, when you don't worry about the last, you know, you made a mistake, who cares? Just go out there, trust yourself, trust your receivers, and just sling it, man.
Yeah, no, and just so you know, podcast listener, Jorge is 55 years old, and he used the word lit. What a wild ride that was. No, but you're right. This Hard Rock Stadium better be lit. That is exactly right. And I will say this to finish off this segment of Intrusive Thoughts. I have one more for you, Jorge. Here it is. Okay. A final one. And this is something I tweeted about, because this is the thing I'm worried about more than anything. I call it, and before we say the intrusive thought, I want to say that I've been sort of predicting this. It's called the flippening, because I believe that, you know, the defense has carried us for almost a decade. I feel like it's going to be our offense now, right? And I feel like there's a flippening coming, and it just happened last week, right? All right, so here it is. This defense in 2021, which we haven't added anyone new other than Melvin Ingram, that's the only guy that we've added, was statistically the worst defense in the NFL against top 15 quarterbacks, allowing 33 points per game and 30 points per game versus Josh Allen. Can we, if this defense allows 33 points, can we score 34 against this Bills defense, who ate at the, you know, against the Super Bowl champion? What do you think?
Yes. Yes, we can.
You think so?
But let me say this. The defense is so bad against top 15 quarterbacks, top 10 quarterbacks, whatever it is, because they cannot play with a lead, because the offense was not doing their part. When you give a lead to this defense, a 7-point lead, a 10-point lead, you know, anything double digits, this defense is just shut down, because they know they don't have to react to what you're doing. They can just come after you and pressure you and play man coverage and force you into mistakes. This defense really struggles when they're tied or where they're down, because they have to react to what the offense is doing. And that takes the aggressiveness just right out the door. I thought the defense played a hell of a game in the second half outside of that one run. They really shut down the door when they had to. And I think that if this offense manages to give them a 10-point lead against the Bills, then we're shutting them down.
Shutting them down.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're going to shut them out. I will say we're shutting them down.
What do you think a final score prediction would be for you?
Like in the best case scenario?
No,
like,
what do you think is going to happen?
What I think is going to happen is the Dolphins are going to jump up to a 10-point lead. And they're never going to look back from that. The Bills are going to score a number of times, but they're never going to get closer than 10.
And then the final score is what?
I'm going to say 42-28.
We're going to score 42 again. We're going to go back-to-back 42-point games. That is so optimistic, Jorge, and I love it out of you. I love it. And that's where I have to be a pessimist so that I can even us out.
Wait, time out.
Okay.
The last 2 weeks, you've been the pessimist first, and now you ask me to be the optimist first.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And according to the jinxing rules, we cannot do that, man. We have to stay on the same pattern.
Yes. Yes. I agree. You should be the optimist here, right?
Yeah. But I should be the optimist after you're the negative one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. The last 2 weeks, I've predicted us to start out 0-2.
Yeah.
And we're 2-0.
Yeah.
So that means that it makes sense that I would also say they lose this game so we can win. Okay. And from that perspective, but I also do think the Bills are a better team than us. Okay. The thing I will say is I think this defense is very opportunistic, bend not break, but I also think that this type of Bills offense is the type that always is going to crush this type of defense. I don't know what it's about. Maybe it's that Josh Allen can, you know, he can break out of the pocket or, you know, break off a sack opportunity. I don't know what it is, but this team, this defense has never been able to figure out Josh Allen. And with Byron Jones gone, it's going to get ugly. I think it will. And not to say that this team isn't a top five team or a top 10 team in the NFL. I think they are. But Josh Allen and the Bills are the best team in the NFL.
I agree. They're the best team in the NFL.
That's all I can say. You know what I mean?
They are the best team in the NFL. I do think there's going to be some key absences that the Miami Dolphins can profit from in that back end. I think the absence of Jordan Phillips, if he is effectively out, is going to be huge for that defense. I think Mika Hyde, although he might play, he didn't practice today. He didn't practice yesterday because they had a walkthrough. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, I'd be surprised if Mika Hyde plays. I would be shocked right now if Jordan Poyer plays on Sunday. White is already out. So three of their four starters on the perimeter are out from last season. And the Dolphins are coming with the Blur Brothers. That's Brian Baldinger's, by the way, nicknamed for Tyreek and for Jalen. Uh-huh. And honestly, they're going to be playing in the South Florida Sun at The Rock. I'm sorry. I think we do score 42. I think the defense scores once. I think a running game scores once or twice. And I think the rest are passing touchdowns from Tua. So I predict a 3-score game by Tua.
Do you think it's going to be a shootout?
I think it's going to end up being a shootout where we're just trying to keep our distance, you know, keep them at 10 points, and never give them a chance to actually get back in the game. I think McDaniel, I hope, you know, MCD knows that he can't go conservative against the Bills. You know, it's run it up from the beginning, man. Just score as much as you can, and then we'll check the scoreboard at the end. Because as you said, you know, Josh Allen is right now, for me, top two quarterback in the league. That offense is probably the most talented unit out there just because they're so balanced. Although the running game has struggled. And, you know, you can't give them a chance. So if you get, you know, your foot on the throat early, just never take it off, man.
I was actually, when I was watching the Bills game versus the Titans, and also just so you guys know, I picked the Titans plus 20. If you know what that means if the Bills lose by anything less than 20, I win my bet. And obviously they lost by, I think it was 30 something. Okay. And that's not a terrible team. They have Derrick Henry and they shut down Derrick Henry. Absolutely shut Derrick Henry down, their best player. And Ryan Tannehill obviously can't win against the Bills without Derrick Henry going for 200. But the thing is, this Bills team, and you were saying that the Bills can't run the ball either. When they take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, that's a win. Every single time it's a win, they take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. Yeah. So honestly, if they started running the ball well and stuck to the run, that would be fine with me on Sunday. But I don't know. I honestly think we don't get destroyed. I think we lose by 10 points. And it's a moral victory, but I just don't see how we beat this team. I really don't. I just don't see it. Not based on the defense, not based on the offense, based on my trust in this defense.
I think that for us to beat the Bills, you have to have a number of things go your way on the injury front. A number of things go your way just luck-wise. You just have a couple of bounces your way. And you have to be perfect on both sides of the ball.
Perfect.
I think the Dolphins were perfect for the fourth quarter last week. I think they can carry that over to this game and be smart about it and double dip at halftime, get some key turnovers at some point, I honestly think the Dolphins not only can win this game, I think they're going to win this game.
I love that. And I also love the thing you said about momentum coming from the Ravens game. And maybe we've talked about this a little bit, but doesn't it seem like when you throw for 6 touchdowns and 470 yards, something clicked, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like when you're doing that performance and everything you throw seems to be a 60-yard touchdown, don't you think there would be a little momentum going into the next game? It has to, right?
Yeah. And let's be honest, we had seen there was that one play with Jalen Waddle in the first half, that long run, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's so much to like about this offense. And to think about it's only been 2 weeks with this new system under your season with the starters and so on. I would be shocked if Mike McDaniel didn't have something prepared for the Bills this week. Something different.
Like what?
I will say this. We have a player who was a quarterback in high school. And I wouldn't be shocked if we saw him throw a pass this week.
Cedric Wilson.
No.
Wasn't he a quarterback? I thought he was a quarterback.
He was, but he's not the one I'm talking about.
Oh, which one are you talking about?
Who would be the most surprising player that you would see on an offense, on a position, like the position offense that you'd be most shocked to see throw a pass?
The long snapper.
The fullback.
Okay. Was he, was Ingold a quarterback?
Yeah, he was a quarterback in high school.
Wow.
So, I mean, I would love to see it. I don't know. I mean, obviously this is just spitballing. I have no idea, but I would be shocked if McDaniel didn't have some sort of twist on some things that we have already seen. Something different. I would be shocked if Tyreek Hill didn't have at least 4 carries this week as a running back. So I think it's going to be a great game, honestly.
Yeah. I want to bring this up just one more time. The one thing I'm worried about is that I think they're not going to be able to run I don't think they're going to run the ball a lot. I remember like there was a string of 4 or 5 years in a row where the Chiefs would throw the ball about, I don't know what it was, 75 to 80% of the time. And everyone's like, how do they keep winning when they have no balance in the offense, right? Like, know they're going to throw it, but you can't stop them. And I think that's what the Bills are going to be doing this season. They're going to abandon the run. They're going to put the ball in Josh Allen's hands every single time. And I just think you can't stop it, especially without Byron Jones being on the other side of X. And we all know that Stephon Diggs, every time he plays X, he gets the better of him. He does. I don't remember. When's the last time that X shut down Stephon Diggs? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be, I don't know. This is going to be this, in my opinion, if this is a win, this is because Tua outbattled Josh Allen. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be because our defense has 14 of their own points. That's what we usually win by, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I also think this, X is going to have a bounce back game.
You think so?
I think he had a really powerful first half against the Ravens. Really
terrible.
And then he dropped that pick 6.
But I'm kind of glad he did drop it because it allowed Tua to do the comeback.
Yeah, yeah. I will say this. I think a key player for me this week is going to be Jalen Phillips.
Jalen Phillips.
Who's been missing, by the way, the last 2 weeks.
I forgot he was on the team, honestly.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear about your first round pick, right? Yeah. I think he's going to be key to, containing Josh Allen in the back end. I will say that I think Channing Tindall is going to see playing time as a spy. So it should be a good game, and I'm excited. Honestly, I'm excited. But if we lose, it was Carter's fault because he jinxed us by asking me to do my prediction first. So, yeah.
No, but I also have predicted 0-2, and I predicted 0-3 now. So maybe, I don't know. We'll see how the jinx rules work. Last question. What's your score prediction was 42-28?
Yeah.
My prediction is going to be 35 to, I'll go 35-28. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Bills win that game, and everyone's looking at us and going, it's okay, you lost to the Bills, don't fret it. And honestly, if we lose to the Bills this Sunday by anything other than a blowout, I'm fine.
Okay.
So that has been the two amigos. We're done for today. And go, I mean, fins up, honestly. So that's all I can really say. What do you got, Jorge?
Nothing more, man. Fins up. And I love that you did a segment based on your love life, by the way.
Yeah. Which is a huge topic for some reason on this show. Well, we're going to be cut off. Love you guys. See you next week.